This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! In the left field, December 3000, a run is scored!
Smith courts one into right down the line. It may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Clover's there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to our Thursday edition of Two Birds on a Bat. I'm your host, Jim Cromer. Let me welcome in my partner in crime, Steve. What's happening, bud?
Hey, bud. We got kicked down to Studio B because we were supposed to be at the Cardinal game today with our friend, and we came in to do the show instead.
Well, let's just give everybody a little update on what's rolling here. So, you know, our man Benji's in town. We were all set to go to the Cardinal, enjoy a Cardinal game, enjoy a day game, which are our favorite things, by the way.
And a cheesesteak.
Cheesesteak, which we've been promising Benji. Yeah, there he is, boy. He's another country heard from over there. So we decide that we're going to do this, right? So now the game, as everyone in St. Louis is painfully aware, is now tomorrow, which we're used to Thursday day games anyway.
Love them.
So we're going to have our Thursday day game tomorrow. So we're going to go ahead and do the show a day early because there's going to be no game tonight, so we can talk about what we want to. And we had a great day today because our good friend Carly Schauber joined us. So let's welcome both of those guys in. Carly and Benji, what's going on, guys?
What's up?
We're ready to go. Let's do this.
Yeah, he's ready to do this. So the great thing about Carly coming over was she kind of got on us because I get a text from Carly that says, hey, I've got Benji with me and you've never taken him to Emo's. And I'm like, well, it isn't like the guy's here every day, okay? Now, I blame this on his brother or his teammates or whatever, because when he was here for the whole year coaching, nobody took him to Emo's. So, Carly, I think it's more to blame on those guys than us.
I don't know. I mean, he's been with you guys, you know, with the show and everything, and I thought your first action of business when he came to St. Louis was we're going to take him to Emo's, and you never did.
Let's be honest, though. I mean, Emo's, you know, let's stop with the commercials. Let's reach out and touch the people and bring them in, because that's what they used to do. Let's not get so big that you can't do that.
Well, and the thing is, now, just so you know, Carly, I got introduced yesterday to some other unbelievable food. When we went to Benji's friend's Mexican restaurant. Let me tell you something. Unbelievable. So I am putting on weight at an alarming rate this week. I've got to stop it. So I'll be glad when – I won't be glad, but I'll kind of be glad when Benji goes back to Arizona. So let's get down to business here, though. We are going to talk some Cardinal baseball. We are going to find out what our man Benji thought of his first experience of Emo's, because it is a St. Louis iconic place.
St. Louis original.
It's a St. Louis original, right? The square beyond compare. And we are available for sponsorships if Emo's is listening. But the truth is we got all kinds of stuff. We've gotten past opening day, of course. Talked about that on Monday when Benji was here with us. So we're going to talk a little bit about the second game because, you know, you always wonder, can that intensity level stay the same? Before we do that, we want to remind everybody, make sure you check us out, twobirdsonabat.com. That's the website where we keep the podcast. It's also the easiest way for you to subscribe to the show, which keeps you in tune with what we're doing. You know, you can get a notification every time a new show has been released. Very simple to do. You just go to twobirdsonabat.com, click subscribe to the podcast, walk you right through it, depending on who your mobile provider is. Very easy to do. We love Twitter. Our Twitter account continues to grow each and every day simply because we've made you the promise. If you're a Cardinal fan, you follow us. We are going to follow you back. Is that not right, Benji? Are we not on that?
We need that. We need those people that are listening, not following it. We need them so bad right now. We're following back.
Yeah, we're following back. And at Birds on a Bat Show. Now, see, I know that sometimes some people say, hey, man, I look for two birds. Nope, we are at Birds on a Bat Show on Twitter. And Benji's Twitter account keeps growing every day, too. You're at Benji Molina 1, is that correct?
Yep.
At Benji Molina 1. Well, let's just throw Carly's out there, too. Carly, you'd like some followers, wouldn't you? What are you?
Carly _ Schauber.
Yes, that's an unbelievable writer, by the way. For those of you that know, friend of the show, she's been on a couple of times, and we love her work. But yes, at Birds on a Bat Show, if you follow us and you're a Cardinal fan, we're going to follow you back. We love to engage with you guys, too. We're going to do some stuff coming up here where we're going to turn the account over to Benji. We're going to let Benji loose with the Birds on a Bat Show Twitter coming up here. So you never know who you're talking to on the other end of that line. So we're definitely going to do all that and have a great time with it. Facebook's great as well. Two Birds on a Bat, just type it in the search bar, you'll find us. And once you've liked that, we've started something new. There are so many great Facebook pages and groups out there. You know, you hear us talk about rallysquirrel.com and his great page, Chris Lawless and Cardinal Nation, the great group. We've got the Cardinal Freak. We started our own just to kind of get in the game, and it's called, very simple, Birds on a Bat. If you guys would like to be a part of that, just type in Birds on a Bat, like that. That is a public group. We'd like, you know, everyone to join, invite your friends. Just another way to promote stuff within the Cardinal community. And, of course, thank you very much to everybody at lineupmedia.fm, the great growing podcast company located right here in St. Louis, fastest growing podcast network on the planet. They know your time's valuable. If you check them out at lineupmedia.fm, I promise you, if you're into podcasting, we know you want to listen to what you want to listen to, when you want to listen to it, and how you want to listen to it. Check them out. I guarantee you, you'll find another show that you will enjoy. All right, let's get to some Cardinal baseball, guys.
And Jim, you did that without a script.
Yes.
And it just rolls off your tongue.
Yes.
So
that was impressive.
I need to take a deep breath. Deep breath.
Hey, now, let me ask you this. I know you handle our Birds on a Bat Twitter account,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Do you have one that you, a personal one out there? Or?
It doesn't, no.
Okay.
I'm not a personal guy.
You're not a personal.
I'm a show first guy.
You like to hide behind...
The mask, right? Yes, I always wanted to be a catcher like Benji. I wanted to hide behind the mask.
Yeah, I tell you what, that was impressive for sure, man.
It was.
No paper in front of you, there's nothing, man.
It's all right here, as Kramer used to say.
Let me explain what was impressive.
I would have stuttered a little bit.
A little bit. I made two bold predictions. The Cardinals were going to go undefeated, 162-0.
You're out.
And Jose Martinez would not make an out this year.
Did he make an out?
Oh, no.
No, he got on base.
Got on base.
Oh, okay, yeah,
so
that's right.
I'm still alive there.
You're one for two on predictions?
Yes.
Benji's laughing at you, by the way. Listen, if this guy doesn't make an out all year, Benji's going to say, hey, where were you when I was playing making bold predictions?
Well, let me tell you where I was. When a guy like that wears the slimming number one on the back of the jersey, that tells me something. So he knows what's going on. He knows my idol was Ozzy, so... Now he's the number one in my life here.
Yeah.
Only the best were number one.
That's right.
Just know that.
Hey, that's a great question. Why number one?
It was funny because I was number five. My number is 11.
That's
the number my dad gave me since I was a kid. But I couldn't have it everywhere I went. So, like, in the Angels, I think it's Jim Fregosi was retired. Then I went to Toronto. Somebody else, you know, had it. So I went to... the Giants, and I couldn't get it, you know, and things like that, right? But that was later. And in the Angels, they gave me number five. So I said, you know what? That's fine. That's okay. I get number five. And then we traded for Ron Gant.
Oh, okay.
Ron was number five in the Braves. So he comes to me, and he said, hey, rookie, I need your number. And I was like, all right.
Cool. Would that cost him anything?
Nothing. He just said to me he needs his number.
That's big business now with these guys, though. If you got a number and you want to come over, there's people buying watches and cars. And
I didn't get anything.
Okay.
Know? I just thought that it was the nice thing to do. And I'm not into numbers anyway. I didn't care. I was in the big leagues, right? So I gave it to him. And then the clubhouse guys, he came over. Ken Higdon, man, he passed away, by the way. It was a sad story. But he came over to me and said, hey, what number do you want? You know, now that Ron Gant took your number. And I said, what do you have available? He goes, well, I got one. And I said, oh, that one is it.
That's it.
That's how I got number one.
So obviously that begs the question, did you have any superstitions out there at all? Nothing.
Not at all. Okay. Not one. I don't care what it was. I never believe in that. I really go at it every day with my abilities, and I trust them. You know, one day I was playing with my brother and I got four hits, 4 for 4 night. And the next day I didn't feel the batting glove being so good. You know, like they got wet or sweaty or. And I said, you know what? I'm done with these guys. I wasn't even thinking in 4 for 4. I didn't even remember 4 for 4. And here comes my brother. What the hell are you doing? You got four hits with those batting gloves. I said, I don't think I did got hit with the batting glove. You know, I didn't like him. Because my brother was a big superstition guy. So he said, no, you got to wear him. You got to wear him. Four hits. I said, no, I'm not. I'm not going to wear him. He goes, no, yeah. He's fighting with me, trying to wear him. I said, no, I don't believe in any of that. And you're not going to make me do it right now. And so I threw those away because they were all messed up. And I went 2 for 4. Well, actually, 2 for 3 with the walk, which I never do, but but I did that day. So that tells you, or told me, actually, because I know a lot of people.
Then it was something else that caused the 4 for 4, yes, not the batting gloves.
Exactly.
Around the league, I mean, obviously, you're in the league a long time. Out of all the guys you know, who had the weirdest superstition?
It's hard to say because you have so many.
Right.
Like, I saw David Eckstein doing his thing right before he goes to bat, jumping around in the on-deck circle. I saw Adam Kennedy had to go up the steps with the right foot first. I saw so many. My brother had to, every time after a first pitch, I think, he had to take the Velcro off of the batting glove and kind of like Garcia Parra type deal. But we all have our own, I'm sure. I mean, they're all baseball. They all do. You've seen them probably around the whole league. But I never believed in that.
Carly, you've been covering the Cardinals for quite some time. We've been through the Skip Schumacher, the batting gloves, and all this kind of stuff. Anything stick out to you that you used to sit there as a fan and go, what are they doing?
Not really either, because, I mean, in softball, we had our things, too, when I played ball in high school. But they never come across as strange to me because I had my own in the outfield. And what I would do, I would take my right foot and hit it against the ground 3 times, take 3 steps forward and hit my glove, and then ready for the pitch. It was like this huge, huge thing that I did.
Benji laughing.
And after every game, it was like, what is this big mud mark or dirt patch in the outfield? And they're like, oh, that's just Carly doing her superstition thing. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, but yeah. I know every player, they may have their own thing, but I've never seen one that just absolutely stood out to me.
Well, Steve-O's definitely on pace to be 0-for-0, but right now he's 1-for-2 where he sits, with Jose Martinez being his only hope.
I'll come up with others.
Okay, you can come up with others. So let's take a look. Obviously, we had the great opening night, the great finish. Obviously, we didn't want it to get to that scenario. We would have liked to have just finished it out in the ninth. But all's well that ends well, I always say. And then we get into the day off, which I hate, by the way. The day off. It's like, man, we've been waiting so long, and now we're waiting another day. Then we get to game two. A lot of things going on with game two. And you're sitting here going, again, I said this about game one. I'm not quite sure I can handle the stress level of game one. I mean, first game of the year, and it did. It felt, we talked about it, that game felt like a playoff game. I guess because the Cubs now are the Cubs, right? The great Cubs, that it was a must win is what it felt like. It was managed that way. It was, the players played that way. We talked about it. Here we are in game two, and now everybody's automatically like dissecting this thing down like it's going to be a cosmocosm of the whole season, right? Start off with Waino. A lot of questions. Didn't have the year last year that we're typically seeing of him. Removed, a full year removed from the injury now. Come to spring training. Spring training wasn't that great. Is he just working on things? What are we doing? Comes out. Nibbled quite a bit, I feel like. But at the end of the day, he gives up 2 runs. We got a soft inside pitch off the handle over the shortstop's head.
A little Texas leaguer, right?
And we got a safety squeeze.
We got that ball that crushed Hayward. Everybody saw that. I mean, that's baseball, though. You know, he got for a hit. But also what happened after, why Grishuk had to throw to home.
Right.
There was no play at home. That guy was going on the contact, you know, and he should have known that. And he should have kept the guy from going to third. You know, he should have gone over and throw the ball to third, so keep him all the runners in, and who knows what happens after.
Well, you know, people started sending stuff out last night on Twitter, and you know, I'm sorry, I refuse to start in on anybody, even the players that I personally don't care for. I'm not starting in on anybody for quite a while. Everybody needs to chill.
Yeah, we're not trying to start you know? Over. We're just trying to discuss right. the game. The things that we're going to talk about
right.
could change the
That's
game.
Right. So I said very calmly to somebody on Twitter last night, by the way, if Grichuk throws the ball to third base, we might still be playing.
Yep.
to exactly be completely right. honest yep. here. You know, so, you know, hey, they're not going to win. They're not, contrary to what Steve predicted, they're not going to go 162-0. We lost 2-1. They had their ace on them. And that's the other thing, too. Everybody's all over Peralta already. They're all over Matheny because Peralta's batting fourth. Last time I checked, would we get 4 hits in the game? Or did we get 5? Maybe. This is a Cy Young candidate. Okay. Got 4 hits. Lost 2-1 on a humpback line, on a soft line, soft flare over the shortstop's head and a bunt. And we lost 2-1.
You gotta know that I was very excited, very happy to see that we were just a couple hits away from blowing this thing open.
Sure.
And a couple innings, not only one inning.
Right.
Like two or three innings, we had guys in second, we had guys at third. We even had a guy at first, which you all know, if you hit the gap, that run's going to score.
Sure.
So absolutely. I think we were just a couple hits away from getting this game back.
Well, actually, a couple inches, right? I mean, right. The Almora makes a great play on the ball hit by Matt Adams.
The wind killed us, too.
Yeah, I mean, that ball's gone if there's no wind blowing in.
I was talking to Carly, and I was telling her how the wind helped us early.
Sure.
A couple of balls that they hit.
Yep.
They
would have been gone.
Yeah, the
summer.
Ball Schwarber hit. Yeah.
So
I'm going to call him Schwaber too. The Schwaber. Rest of the year. Kyle Schwaber. Kyle Schwarber. But yeah, you know, hey, it's the baseball gods, right? I mean, you win some, you lose some, and at the end, you just hope you win more than the guy behind you.
Well, hold on. First and foremost, the actual quote is win some, lose some, and sometimes it rains.
Well, that's
like today.
Another great movie.
Yes.
Hey, let me tell you something about this thing. You know, they play 19 times, I think, during the year. Which is a lot of games. But what we saw yesterday was something more. It's we saw that the Cardinals can play with the Cubs.
Sure.
For 2 games already, we've shown them John Lester and Arrieta.
Right.
And we've shown that we can keep up with those guys. We were a couple hits away from winning the second game, too. So that tells you we are right there with them, you know. And they might have a little younger talent than us. But, hey, we're right there, and we can do it.
Now, I want to bring up a scenario, something that happened last night. And you know what's funny about this is surprisingly you and I have not had a conversation about this yet. But it was talked about on social media. It was blown up on TV, the incident with Waino and Molina. Now, I think that was blown out of proportion if you read Waino's statements. Waino was crossed up, or him and Yadi were crossed up, and he very simply did not want to hurt his catcher. And it seems like that's what they were talking about. It doesn't seem like there was a disagreement. As those two, I think, are thick as thieves, are they not?
They were not arguing for anything. I mean, whoever's out there thinking that they were mad at each other, they were trying to figure out what happened. One of them saw a fastball, which was Waino, and the other guy just thought he put a slider or a curveball, whatever it was, a breaking pitch. So that's all it was. They were trying to figure out who messed up so they don't happen again.
Right.
That's it. I mean, whatever you see on TV and whatever they try to blow it up, ain't nothing happening in there. Yeah. Daddy told me that he's okay with him, and he said that Waino tried to save him. That's all he did. He's trying to keep up that fastball. He had a fastball in his head.
Yeah.
And I'm a catcher. I know that I don't want anybody throwing a fastball when I call curveball. That's for sure. I can get hurt.
Right.
So.
See, to me, of all the things that, you know, we as fans disagree with on Twitter or social media, you know, there's guys that think Colton Wong can't play in the outfield. This guy has been the best athlete on any team he's played on forever. He can run, for Christ's sakes. All the things we talk about. The catching position is the one that's a little bit different because – people think you can just throw on some gear and go back there and catch the baseball. Listen, go do it. Because when that thing's coming at 90 miles an hour, and it doesn't have to be coming 100. If it's coming 90 miles an hour and you think you're getting a curveball and you get a fastball, let me tell you something. You've seen how silly hitters look imagine trying to be the guy catching it. And let's face it, what a lot of guys don't understand is when you guys call a breaking pitch, and I'd love for, you know, to you to talk about the mentality here, Benji. When you call a breaking pitch, you guys are almost anticipating it being in the dirt.
Exactly.
So with that amount of time that you have to react, you almost have to be in your mindset ready to break down.
Yep.
And these guys think that, well, what's the difference? You know, he throws a nut, you just catch it. It's not that simple.
It's not that simple at all, especially with the big curveball that Waino has. So if you see that ball right on target to go to home plate, you're expecting a curveball. You're expecting it down in the dirt. You see that ball low, and you think it's going down. All of a sudden, you go down, that ball keeps straight, going 91 miles an hour. You're going to get hit. You're going to get hit. It happened to me a couple times. It hit my mask, luckily. It didn't hit my shoulder or my collarbone or even my fingers. So it is very difficult to do that. So I don't think they have any trouble, you know,
sure,
going anywhere. It's just the pitch that Waino didn't want to throw because he thought he was going to hurt him.
I thought it was interesting, his comments. He said, hey, listen, we can live with me spiking one in the dirt to see another day. We can't live without Yachty, right, if I drill him here. And, you know, I thought it was an interesting. Carly, what was your take on that whole situation last night? Did you catch what I was saying? They kind of showed it, and it kind of blew up for a minute and then kind of went away?
Yeah, and then, Wainwright, in his interview last night, he said in the dugout after the inning and after all that went down, Yachty said, you know, next time just throw it, I'll catch it. And then Waino was saying in his interview, he was saying, I mean, maybe he may be the only person in the game who could catch a wild pitch like that he's not expecting, but I didn't want to risk it, and I didn't want to see him pulled out on a stretcher, and I would just rather throw it 3 yards in front of the plate or just throw it just a bit outside, as I would say, rather than him get hurt. And I completely agree, and I think Wainwright had the right judgment of just throwing the pitch away instead of risking everything. And I was talking to Benji about this earlier. He's like, I don't care how great a catcher Yachty is. If his health is at risk, if it's on the line, then don't risk it.
You know, Waino's start yesterday, it's one start. I thought he did okay. I think in a baseball perspective, he did look like he was nibbling, you know, looked like he was, you know, I'm not going to say he didn't.
I think experimenting.
Sure.
You know, I think he started the game by throwing too much corners, like okay, he knows who they are, and believe it, they got his number last year and they did good, you know they've done good with him lately, so he knows that too. So instead of going right at him like Arrieta did to us, he just nibbles a little bit, and then nothing wrong. Then he settles down. I thought he did good.
Yeah, you know, did you see enough out of Wainwright that you're like, okay, We're ready to go. Did you see enough out of him last night?
I did. I saw that fastball away. Those fastballs away were pumping, man. He was good. I thought we were gonna have to see obviously a second start, but I saw something very encouraging in him, and I think he's gonna be all right. I really do believe so.
Yeah,
I,
even his curveballs, they're still fantastic. They barely hit off those curveballs.
Right, and I think you take that outing from him day in and day out if you can get that consistency, but I think he's at that point where we all hold our collective breath on when he goes out there, are we going to see that type of performance or better or even worse, and that's where we get to it. But it's interesting. It'll be fun to follow.
Well, you know, I looked at what was going down in the game and where we were at, and, you know, we're down 2-0. And this inning struck out to me where I thought, you know, here we go. This is going to tell me a lot about his health, where he's at. Again, you know who you are. We're in the third inning of the second game of the year, and we're tweeting already how awful he is, and he can't do it anymore, and da-da-da-da-da. They should have taken him. He comes out in the fourth – or, the I'm sorry, the top of the fifth, and he strikes out Schwarber looking. He strikes out Bryant looking, and he gets Rizzo to ground out to first. I think that was a defining inning for him in that game to say, hey, I've got the stuff to do this.
I'm very encouraged with what I saw. That's all I can say. I can wait to see him again against whoever he pitched next. I can wait and see. It's a long season. Like he said it too, you know. It's a long season, and maybe he's just getting his, like we say, his feet wet, you know, like first start, you know that anxiousness that you get, that to go out there and perform good for your team and stuff like that. Plus, you know, He's a good hitter too. You know, I don't know if if you would have let him go out because I think he was in the 80s, right? In the 80s. You know, I don't know if you would have taken him out. I think we would probably try to see one more inning just because he was strong. I mean, he looked strong to me.
You know, we had another, you know, interesting occurrence in the game last night. Stephen Piscotty, who by all accounts, thank goodness, as of the time that we're doing this show, it appears that he has checked out okay. But, man, this guy's had a couple of, you know, the diving play last year and now this happens. I got to ask you, Benji, have you ever seen anything like that?
I seen two hits, you know, like guys goes and get hit and then try to steal a base and, you know, he get hit or something, but nothing like last night. That happened in like 5 minutes.
That's crazy.
That was bizarre. That was the most bizarre thing. And, like, thankfully he was okay, but I couldn't help but chuckle because I'm like, dude, this guy is taking a beating.
The funny thing, the first thing that popped into my head with that when he got hit in the head sliding into home was that the whole catcher blocking the plate rule really – was a detriment to Piscotty there because you saw Contreras
or couldn't come up the line.
Didn't want to come up the line, didn't want to give up. You know, he had to hold a position and he couldn't really do what you guys would have done old school and try to get up the line and be physical with him. And that's what popped into my head immediately was the ball tailed. Obviously, you know, from a Baez righty, he probably threw it as a two-seamer or some sort of cutter there. He didn't have time to really kind of grip it, and the ball moved on him. And
wasn't Contreras, it was Rizzo.
Like no, it was Baez. Yeah.
Like 100 miles an hour, too.
I mean, no, it was Rizzo.
It was Baez.
No, it was Baez.
It was Baez.
He missed the ball. Remember when he missed it with the hand? He went back and got it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay. No, that's right. It was,
yeah, I thought
Rizzo's
because,
the one that came to his aid.
Yeah.
You know what I thought? Thank goodness he's not a left-handed hitter.
Yeah.
If he's a left-handed hitter, the ear flaps on the other side, and he is not okay today. So that's what I thought.
Good point.
What'd you take out of that? His slide in the second base, a protective slide, arm up. Did hit his Evo Shield on
that
there.
That's what I – now, listen, I know that the guys wear some of this stuff. He must have a really sensitive spot there to keep that Evo Shield on his left arm while he's running the bases.
Well, he probably got hit two games before or maybe a week before.
Right.
Because I've done it before. I never wear any gear in my arm or in my shin or something. But if I get hit like 2 days ago or 3 days ago, I'm sure I'm gonna wear. They don't want a double hit there, man. That's
what
he's doing.
Yeah, but it was just interesting. So it happens.
I love him. I love the way he hustles. I love his base running. Ever since I started watching him play, he's done the best base runnings out there for the team. He goes on the ball in the dirt, gets to second. He goes on this pitch. He goes on that pitch. And then he takes off for home plate. He's not afraid. And we got a couple guys out there that are really afraid of running the bases. And he's not going to help us either.
But he's not careless either.
No, he's not careless.
You know, and
he's just very aggressive.
Absolutely.
And when you – I haven't seen him make an error or a mistake on running the bases. I haven't seen him – go out like a crazy guy or something. He's done it within the game. Like the game dictates, oh, a wild pitch, oh, I got to go. You know, he doesn't hesitate. And he's, for me, one of the best base runners out there.
Right. And, Jim, I didn't know if you were going to touch on this, but just speaking of the wild pitches, I mean, I think Arrieta had 16 last year, something like that. He was all over the place. And if that plays out, you're talking about that could cost the Cubs a couple of games.
Well, it's a thing that has followed him.
Right.
I mean, you know, I think most people, especially the people in Chicago, will say, we'll take those wild pitches. He seems to be doing just fine. I mean, Arrieta's filthy. You know, a lot of it is for him. And again, I'll always defer to the expert sitting across from me that, you know, they always say, we actually talked about this yesterday, catchers make great pitching coaches, but you know, he steps across his body. He lands completely closed and throws across his body. And my guess would be when he throws that slider or that breaking pitch, man, that is a tremendous amount of energy and torque going across the body, not just the arm, right? And my guess is when you throw with that kind of force, with that kind of energy, that's going to happen. Now, if you were to ask me, will I live with a few wild pitches if Jake Arrieta's on the mound? I probably would. Benji, your thoughts?
I think he's you make a great point. You know, crossing, it's a very hard blocking for us. You know, when you're expecting the ball outside, the ball crosses out the home plate, it goes the other side, there's no chance a catcher can do that. It's the same as a right-hander. and you're trying to get a slider or a curveball down and away to a righty, and all of a sudden it backed up on you, and he goes to the other side, my whole body is leaning towards that ball going to the right. And if it goes the other way to the left, there's no chance I get there. Because I'm expecting, especially on these guys, they had a slider at 90 miles an hour or something like that. So I think, and touching on the blocking balls and the wild pitches, look at how important. I was putting a dot on every pitch Yadi blocked yesterday. And there was 10 balls, 11 to 10 balls he blocked. Now, think about the wild pitches. If that got him in trouble.
Right.
If that hit comes up, they're doomed. But it happened after the blocks. So that's how important the catching is. People think it's only catch the ball and throw the guy out at second. That's important, but there's so many other things into a catching that goes, and blocking is one of them, man, and keep the guys from advancing one base.
Well, there's so many things that go into the game of baseball. We didn't have a whole ton of offense from either team last night. Pitching, we've covered. And we talk about defense a little bit. And, you know, you mentioned the block balls. For those of you that had the over and under on Matt Adams making his debut in the outfield, if you had it at two games, you'd hit the Vegas odds. We saw it happen last night. Again, Twitterverse was in an uproar over the fact that a guy that would be the best athlete in the room no matter where he went, besides Busch Stadium, goes out and plays left field. Had a couple balls, pretty uneventful. I thought the third one he looked a little shaky on, but nonetheless he did catch it. Again, I have no idea where this is going, and I'm not going to judge any type of experiment like this until later.
It was a tough night, man. It was a tough night. That wind was hauling. That wind was fast, and we saw it in the hitting and stuff, but everybody, it wasn't just Matt Adams that had adventures out there. How about Wong?
Yeah, that one in foul territory where he had to really track down him.
Yeah, our friends in Twitterverse called that a great play. That was a great play.
There ain't no great play in that one. I mean, great play, obviously, because he recovers and caught the ball. But that was a fair ball, too. So, anyway, the Adams, I don't see anything wrong out there. The only thing I saw, obviously, was the high pop-up that – dance around in the air.
Yeah, sure.
And, you know, he's not used to.
Hey, the coach gives you a glove and tells you to go play outfield. You going to go play?
Heck yeah. That's his chance.
Yeah. But think about it. You're sitting down, I mean, ground level, field level at Busch Stadium is probably 30 feet under street level. And all of a sudden, you get a major league fly ball, and there's tricks that are played up high. You know, that wind is moving up high. We do it out on the golf course all the time. How many times do
we look up at the top of the trees? Well, but you see, the interesting thing is, and I understand this part of it, that's what these fans are saying. They're like, that's right. It's not easy, so why are you putting a guy out there that doesn't do it? So I get that, but
it's our best option.
Yeah, well, because he can hit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
How about the other guys? They're planning left. That's their best option out there, too.
Right. Yeah, Carly's brother, Carly Schauber, Carly Schwarber. No, listen.
I call him Carl Schwarber.
Is that
Carl Schwarber?
Carl. But, you know, listen, I understand it. I understand the excitement level of doing something that seems quote-unquote unorthodox. I sent out a tweet the other night that got a lot of play. You know, Madden bunts with an out already, a runner in a scoring position, so that he's got two outs. And I sent out, and I honestly, everybody thinks Madden's a genius, which I'm not saying. I don't think he's a great manager, but everybody thinks everybody in St. Louis wants him to be the manager instead of not everybody. There's a faction. They want Madden. We could have had Madden. Well, what would you have done if Madden would have bunted Colton Wong with a runner on first and one out already? What would you have done? You'd have lost your mind. And this guy's supposed to be a genius.
Well, there's people up in Chicago that probably think he lost his mind. You know that
he lost it. Well, we all know what we talked about. He lost his mind last year with Chapman.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. These guys do what they think is right because at the end of the day, they sink and swim with the ship. So if you're a manager, I am sorry to be damned, you are going to do what you think is right. Because if you're going to go down, you're going to go down doing it your way.
I'm going to say something real quick. The bunt that Bias did, that was straight luck. Let's put it that way. Let's be honest.
That was a great bunt.
The guy didn't run.
Right.
The guy didn't came from home. It's not a squeeze.
That wasn't a squeeze. Mm-mm.
So if that bunt goes and could have easily gone foul ball, it could have easily gone right to the pitcher. It could have easily gone like charging the first baseman. That guy doesn't even run to home, and we get the second out of the inning.
Yeah.
So what is it about genius about it? About that play, I'm saying. Yeah. Not the other one that we were talking about.
It's quite simple. It worked. It's genius.
It's genius because it worked.
Exactly. Yeah. But it could have easily gone to the base, you know, to the guy, to Waino. The guy stays at third.
Get two out. Yeah.
It's not like a Ichiro bunt.
Yeah.
Like he did it perfectly. He just had a high chopper bunt that got there, and the guy at third saw the high chopper, and he went home.
Yeah, it was actually a tough hit. I thought he did a good job to bunt it where he did.
The point is, I don't understand why they do that play. Because if that ball goes, like I said, and it will go 8 out of 10, might go straight to somebody, that guy at third base is going to stay. He's not going to run. So then you give away your second out, and you still got the guy at third.
Well, I'm not a fan of it, but you're obviously talking about a safety squeeze. And they did mention on there that he loves to do that. He loves to safety squeeze. In that instance, I guess Baez, who by all accounts has been pretty darn good lately. I mean, do you feel like that the issue with that is taking the bat out of a guy's like that's hands? I mean, is that your?
I don't think it was sent from the dugout the way he looked at it.
Really?
I just think he did it on his own. That's the way I saw it. The other one. I was in between, you know. I didn't know what to think of it. You know, the one that you said, one out.
And yeah.
You're giving away the second out. But that one, it looked like he just squared off and did it. You know, it wasn't like a play that they worked on or something, you know.
Yeah, when they were doing it, the only thing I could think to myself is, okay, what's his mindset here? Is his mindset here really, okay, I'm going to bunt this runner over. They won't pitch to Schwarber. And they'll bring up Chris Bryant with two outs, and I'll take my chances. Is that what he was really thinking?
I don't think so, but why would you do
that? Because Javi Baez is an awful good number nine hitter.
Why would you do that? Why would you give away your second out? Unless you're a pitcher.
And this is always my argument. No matter what we do, whenever we do this stuff, right, we are assuming anytime we do something or say something that our idea is going to work. And we have to remember that the greatest in the game only succeed 30% of the time.
And we always assume that the manager told them to do it.
Well, that's another thing, too.
Everybody in the stands probably thinking, why is Joe Maddon bunting? Why can't it be a brain, you know, bias thing? Could be him.
Yeah.
He got the bat, and he could bunt anytime he wants.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, unless you know something for a fact, I really think that I don't like the play because 8 out of 10, it'll go to a pitcher or it'll go to a first baseman, and the guy doesn't score either.
Well, we had a little bit of everything last night. Like I said, we got into the Cardinals bullpen, who I thought did a good job. Battled it, went toe-to-toe with the Cubs. We had our first real invasion of Cub fan in Busch Stadium. There was a lot more Cubs jerseys in the second game, which I think we all expected. I think we would have saw plenty today as well, which I'm assuming we'll see plenty tomorrow. All in all, we're only two games into this thing. I'm not going to do – again, I refuse to do a whole lot of crabbing, complaining. I'll give you my complaints, and it came up. What is going on getting into the stadium? Carly, you got anything on this? I mean, what is going on?
It was insane. I mean, by first pitch, half the people weren't in the stadium.
I saw that picture last night. I was like, holy cow, and I figured you were probably there.
No, I wasn't there last night.
Okay. I'm sitting here going, well, opening day, I get it. It was opening day. But, I mean, it was a madhouse getting in there on opening day. So then last night I see that, and I go, what is going on here? Benji, I sent you a text that said – hey, just so you know, I mean, because, you know, we were going to try to hook up when we got to see him. I'm like, man, we've been in line for almost 2 hours here, and we're struggling to even move. This was on opening day. So I thought, okay, it's opening day. But then I see this last night.
There goes the cheesesteaks.
There go the cheesesteaks, yes. So, Carly, anything? Like, anything from the Cardinals on this yet? Are you hearing anything?
I know that they banned, like, backpacks and really big carry-ons, and they're only allowing just small handheld bags, which is almost an issue for me because, I mean, with my media stuff, I'll be carrying my laptops and podcasting stuff and everything, and it's like, we'll have to get a smaller bag if this is the case.
They won't let media bring a backpack in either?
I don't, if it applies to fans, but I haven't tried it out yet. I just, you know, but I just, it's good for them for, you know, stepping up on safety, making sure that everyone's fine. But maybe this will only last a couple of homestands because they're trying to figure out this new rule. So hopefully that they'll kind of speed up the process a little bit. But I mean, I'm seeing pictures of these lines, and there's more people outside in the security than there are in the actual stadium, and people aren't there by first pitch.
Well, I would hope the Cardinals would recognize that this is an issue and would figure something out.
Everyone's like tweeting at them. Everyone's sending them emails, and it is out of hand. But you know, they're trying to figure things out a little bit, and maybe this will only be temporary when it comes to the awful lines.
Well, you have to wonder if this security is what it is, and it just takes more time.
Yeah.
You know, if it just takes more time, they're going to need more they're going to need more gates.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure they can figure out, but you know, pain in the butt, but I don't know that you have another or they're going to have to open the gates a half hour early, whatever. My point is nobody wants to spend the money that you spend on a ticket and be standing in line, especially if you want to get in, that's the thing. People are dying to get in there and spend some more money. That's what I don't understand. I think this would be a no-brainer.
It's almost like they're losing money. But
you know,
I'm not sure.
Again, my guess is that'll figure it out. But that's, you know, that and the lines to get food. Now, here's my question to all three of you. Major League Baseball is so concerned about speeding this game up, okay? So let me ask you this. I know it's not like this in every ballpark. We're blessed. We have these great fans. The stadium's packed. You're trying to take a game that lasts X amount of time, and you're trying to shrink it down. Well, let me tell you something. When it takes me 15 or 20 minutes to go get a hot dog and a soda, so now what am I going to do? What am I going to miss now? A whole inning and a half to go get a hot dog and a soda?
I think they should never mess around with the time, because a real fan, like we discussed this before, a real, real fan, a baseball fan, a Cardinal fan, did not give a crap if the game lasts 4 hours or 3 hours and 55. They do not care about that.
Yeah, and like the distinct difference, I mean, you can ask someone who's not a baseball fan, or you can tell if someone's a baseball fan. You ask someone who's not a baseball fan, you say, well, what do you hate about baseball? Oh, it's so long. It's so boring.
Because he doesn't like
it. Yeah, exactly. That you can't sit and appreciate the game of baseball, and you can't have the patience. Patience is a beautiful thing about baseball. It's not, you don't feel like your heart, maybe with the Cardinals on the bottom of the ninth inning with the last strike, but you don't constantly feel like this rushing feeling inside you, like with hockey or even with football, where things, the play clock's running down, or hockey where the time's always ticking, or basketball, whatever. But baseball, you have to take your time with it. It's such a beautiful sport. And if someone thinks it's boring, and then okay, they're not a baseball fan. But the baseball fans appreciate the time it takes for things to play out, and it's not something that should be messed with, in my opinion.
Well, it's not only that. And I mean, I get in arguments all the time on this, and I literally tell the people if they think baseball is boring, they're just ignorant to the sport. They don't understand.
Wow.
Yeah, and I get hardcore with it because I love the game. I get it. You can, for the simple-minded person, when you see football and here comes a play, I see the guy call the play, here they run the play, they come back, it's real easy. Basketball, nonstop. Hockey, same thing. You get into baseball, there's so much that happens between the pitches. There's so much communication that I like to watch. I like to watch the middle infielders communicate to the outfielders. I like to watch the gloves and hiding the signals and everybody doing everything. And there's a poetry to it, and you're right, there's patience. My point I brought up yesterday, Darren Revell, big on Twitter, tweeted out the actual concession stand price board down at the Masters in Augusta. And the hot dogs are $2 and drinks are $2 and candy's a dollar. Do you hear anybody saying, I don't want to go to the Masters because it takes too long? The simple thing to me is, hey, if a cheesesteak wasn't $11.50 or whatever they're going to get, and I'm going to buy you one, all right?
$11.50.
They're expensive.
Holy moly, man.
Absolutely.
Hey, I got a story for you.
But the bottom line is, if you had cheaper concessions, maybe this is just an idea, where a family of four could go to the game and spend 3 hours and afford the concessions and afford to buy the soda and the extra popcorn or whatever it is. I remember George Brett telling a story about Ozzie Smith, why he was so valuable to a club is because in the late innings, people would stick around. They wouldn't leave the game early because they wanted to see the Wizard perform. There might be something magical. So they might go get that extra beer or extra soda or extra popcorn that they normally wouldn't get. Well, you physically can't afford to do that after you pay for tickets and you get the first rounds of things.
And the parking. No, I know. It's getting pretty expensive out there for a baseball, you know, fans and stuff. I understand that. I went to spring training in Scottsdale for the Giants game, and all I wanted was one hot dog and one soda. The cup of soda was, and it had the Giants logo and all that. You know, it was pretty. It was pretty. $11.50.
Wow.
And I bought a hot dog, and it was $7.50. And I'm thinking $10, right? So I get the 10 out, and she just come up almost $20, and I'm like, holy crap, man. I can feel for the fans. You know, obviously I don't see that side of it because I'm always inside playing the game. But I can see how the tickets can get that high, and then all of a sudden you have to buy. You know, it's a commitment, man. It's a commitment that you have to do. And for you guys here in St. Louis, for example, you commit to the St. Louis games. You're gonna spend quite a bit of money, you know, going to the games and having just imagine having three kids, man, and taking them to the field. How beautiful that is. But there's a side of it, you know. You gotta buy three hot dogs, and you have to buy, you know, three sodas, you know, or water or something. So it's getting that way. But at the same time, you don't see the stadiums empty. You see the stadiums with 18, 20, 25,000 people on it. So.
Well, all I ask for is an exciting game, a game that I can appreciate, a team that I can enjoy supporting, which I think we're very lucky and we have that in St. Louis. I mean, it's, you know, it's a labor of love sometimes when you disagree with a manager or your favorite player doesn't come through for you or whatever. You know, you may be upset for 30 seconds, but hopefully you come back around and understand where you're at and how lucky you are. You know, as we go forward, you know, we will reconvene again on Monday here for the show. But, you know, we've seen Carlos Martinez and got all that and more, I feel like, from him. We've seen a few positive things from the club, obviously. We saw Wainwright.
I like our bullpen.
Yeah.
Our bullpen can go with anybody, like I said before. I like it, man. That Bowman, he can pitch.
Well, he's Broxton, a good player. Yeah.
I mean, Cecil looked really nasty to me.
Yeah.
I mean, that bullpen can't go. That's what I'm saying. Like, all the fans out there that get encouraged with our Cardinals, because we can compete with these guys, and we've shown it twice.
Well, let's fast forward a little bit here. You know, you said that you felt like you saw enough out of Waino to feel good moving forward with Waino. You know, probably a lot of boxes is checked. Like, okay. What do you want to see out of Lance Lynn?
You know what? I always had a problem with Lynn because he doesn't work fast. He takes a little longer time than other pitchers, and that can cost you. And he's figuring it out. I think he's going to come out. I'm looking forward for him to obviously hit the spots because he depends a lot on the fastball, and he needs the corners. He needs the spots. Plus, we're going to see it's his first game. He's going to be very excited. He's going to be really pumped up out there. So that's a good thing against the Cubs. You know, I want him pumped up. You know, I want him out there with the heart in the hand. So that will be interesting to see how he handles the situation now that he's been out for a year and come back in the first game is against the Cubs, the champs, and all that stuff. He's a horse. I think he's a horse. I think he's going to be able to take it, man. I think I look forward for him to have a good game, maybe 5-6 innings, hopefully more, and we'll see what happens.
What about Waka? What are you going to look for in him?
Waka, man, I talked to Yadi about him a little bit because it was one of my concerns, you know, and see how he can bounce back. And he's loving it, man. He's loving him. He had a little problem in his shoulder that not many people knew about, and so now he's healthy. No, he's not feeling anything. A lot of people count him out because he got hit last year, but they didn't know that shoulder was bugging him and he was throwing. He wasn't supposed to be throwing. Something worse could have happened to him. But he showed heart. He wanted a pitch, and he did. Well, this year he's healthy. He's ready to go. All these pitchers that we have depends on the spots. All of them. Like Lynn, Waka, even Leak. He has that sinkers and sliders and stuff. They depends on the spot. So if Waka has the spot going on with Yadi, the changeup is devastated. And he's working on a slider. He's working on a curveball. I mean, he could be a key guy for us.
Yeah, I think a third pitch for him is a big deal. You brought up a slider or a curveball. Something to get off the straight, whether it be the change or the fastball. Anything off the string, I think,
even
would help him. Yeah, anything that cuts, anything that would move away from the bat, the barrel, I think would be good. You mentioned the last guy, Mike Leak. You know, I'm of the belief, based on things I've seen in the past, that we didn't see the best of Mike Leak last year. I got to be honest with you. If Mike Leak's your number five starter, you're not too bad, huh?
No, you're not doing bad at all. Last year, he struggles. Maybe the first year of the contract, he wanted to do too much, maybe. You know, who knows? But this year, I think he's going to have a good year, man. I think he's now back down to settle, you know, with the Cardinals. He is not a new organization anymore. I think he's going to be awesome. I think he's going to do good.
Well, I think you're right, Jim. I think when you go into the first week of the season, I think that no matter what team you're on, what team you're cheering for from a fan's perspective, you're checking boxes. And obviously our pitching staff, much like everybody's pitching staff, you're checking boxes. Is Martinez who you thought he could be? Is Wainwright going to have some sort of bounce back? Is the defense going to help Leak? Is Lynn going to be healthy? What's Walker going to be like? And the same thing the Cubs are doing. One box we did get to check, he didn't mention, is Dexter Fowler's little defense. He had a nice little play last night, and I think that's going to add to what we expected him to bring to our club as well.
Yeah, I like him. I know Benji and I have talked about him off air, and I candidly asked him, you know, what does Yadi tell you about Dexter? Benji, feel free, share with the group what Yadi told you about Dex.
Oh, I mean, I think he's an awesome person. That's first. He's not a cocky guy, a guy that you can talk to or anything. He's a very talkable guy. He gets in the clubhouse and everybody knows he's in. You know, he says hi to everybody. He yells it out. He's always in the corner right by Yadi. They're all joking around. He's ready to go. You can see that. Whenever he gets the uni on, they go to BP. He's always on top of the game. He's always on top of what he needs to do. He goes to the cage, workout. He gets everybody involved. What else can you ask of this guy? He's a great defensive guy in center. He's a great leadoff guy. You know, he just faced a couple of really good pitchers.
Yeah, sure.
But he's a great guy, man, and he's very likable in there. You know, they love the guy, and he's going to be awesome. You guys wait. Obviously, it's the second game of the season. You cannot say much about a guy in 2 days, but you guys will love it through the whole year.
Yeah. Carly, your thoughts so far? I mean, you know, again, it's two games, but, like, what are you wanting to see here in the next few games?
Well, I'm really looking forward to Lynn's start tomorrow. Coming off that injury, I think his presence was missed in 2016. People bashed him all the time in 2015, even though he didn't have a bad year in 2015. He just wasn't the pitcher that everyone wanted him to be. But his presence was definitely missed in 2016, and he has a goal in mind, and that mind is a championship, and he's going to try to help the team to get that ring. And Dexter Fowler, I think he's going to – people say when we got him that he wasn't going to be the defensive upgrade, but he was going to be an offensive upgrade. But I really think that – and last night kind of showed this – he might be something special for the outfield, and he's a good leader. And center fielders are leaders of the outfield, and there's no doubt about it. And I think, you know, his attitude in the clubhouse with the Cardinals and then going out into center field, I think he's going to be a good leader. And he's coming off a championship with the Cubs, and he's going to want more. Anyone who comes off that high is going to want more. So I think there's a determination in mind through every single player. And in the pitching rotation, too, you have Carlos Martinez, who, you know, he's kind of gained that ace status. He's the number one starter.
I mean, there's people talking about him being a Cy Young candidate.
And I have no doubt that he is. And at the winter warm-up, I was saying, you know, this guy's going to go for it, and I think he's a great candidate. And then you have Adam Wainwright, who's trying to prove that last season wasn't him. And then Lynn coming off, you know, the injury, like I said, and wanting to championship, and then Leak trying to prove himself, and then Waka trying to prove himself. So everyone has this goal in mind. And Matt Carpenter was telling Derek Gould from the Post-Dispatch earlier, I tweeted out this article, but it was just a beautiful article, just Carpenter talking about how everyone's determined, and there's this mindset going around in the clubhouse that last year wasn't them, and that they want to prove the fans, and they want to give the fans something that they didn't give them last year. And he wholeheartedly admitted that, you know, last year wasn't good, but this year it's going to be something special, and we're going to try to do something special for the team. So I think this year is going to be something good, and the competition is going to be tight with the Cubbies, and we all, I think that's no secret, that's the elephant in the room. But yeah, this year is going to be something special. I can sense it.
Well, I think we all know the Cubs are not going anywhere. They're a good team. Obviously, last year, you know, they made their own little history. Not little, 108 years worth of history in 1 year. But the fact of the matter is they're not going anywhere. I think it's good for everybody down there. You know, Clark Street, if that's what they want to call the Clark Street Mafia, whatever they want to call it. I think it upped the ante with the front office. It ups the ante with the players, the manager, the fan, everybody. And you know, we say it all the time. I don't want to congratulate Cub fan. I don't want Cub fan to congratulate me. I want to go out and I want to beat the Cubs. I don't care if they're good, bad, whatever. I want to beat the Cubs. Now, we've held off, you know, in the last few years, we went through when Houston was good, when they were in the division, and then the Pirates were the up-and-coming team, and, you know, Cincinnati at time, whatever. It doesn't matter to me who it is. I want to win.
Yes, and I want to make sure out there, and you, I mean, perfectly said. I think we've given the Cubs so much credit so far in our shows and stuff, and it's really time to just say, we know they're good. Well, let's be quiet about that, and let's talk about our guys. Let's see how we can do it. And we've shown it in two games that we can hang around the Arrietas, that we can hang around the Lester. You know, we can touch them up.
Right.
And we can do some things again against them. And it's true. It's true. We already gave them so much credit. Okay, yeah, that's right. That's perfect. They're really good. But that's it. You know, that's all it is. We're not going to, like the next series in the Cubs, you know, in Chicago, we're not going to be saying, oh, they're good. We know they're good. Well, what we're trying to say is, like, we can compete with these guys. And I said it before, and I really believe so. I think we can win the division. We can go toe-to-toe with these guys if they stay focused and they stay the same way that, you know, they come out every day and hustle and all that stuff. We got a true leadoff guy now. We got somebody to get on base. We got Diaz having great years. We got Carp hitting third, finally. I mean, we got Piscotty, we got Yadi, we got Peralta. Everybody's down on them so far. But why? Two games. And Peralta is a veteran. He's going to hit, man. He's gonna do it. We got Adams down in the order. I mean, come on, man. We can compete with these guys, you know?
Jim, you brought up something interesting about the Cardinals having to step up their game, and something we didn't get to touch on that happened late on Monday or 1 o'clock on Monday, is they've signed now Piscotty to a long-term contract here. And they've noticed that they got to get out there and get their players. So you got Yachty, you got Cecil, you got Piscotty, Fowler. You know what they spend, Carly? Was it like $257 million now?
It was a bunch.
It was a bunch. More than I'm making.
It was a lot of monies.
So
monies.
You know, Jim, you brought up a great point that I think that the Cardinals front offices notice it, open up the pocketbooks, securing their team, because they know we have the club that can go up there and go toe to toe with the Cubs and win a division.
Yeah,
they spend a lot of means.
Yeah, well, and
a
again,
lot of Benjamins.
Yeah, a lot of it. You know, I'm happy with the organization as a whole. Again, one of my favorite things about spring training is watching the young up and coming guys. I'm really impressed with Bader. I liked Sierra. I thought, is it DeJong? Am I pronouncing that right?
Paul
DeJong. I like him as a player. I think Wisdom's got some potential.
Our farm system's still strong. It's always been strong. We've always had one of the best in the business, and I think the Cardinals have sort of a bright future ahead, and they have a bright present, but that future of theirs, it's incredible, and I'm really looking forward to that.
And they can benefit today.
Yeah. Yeah, if they need someone, then they got the stuff.
Well, and going all the way down, too, the other thing is I think it just has to make you feel good about where you're at. Pitching wise too, Alex Reyes, I mean, he's, you know, obviously we're going to get nothing from him this year, but you know, everything working out the way it should, you know, he should be a year removed next year.
My guess will be he'll still have his rookie status. Yeah, so he doesn't have to lose that.
Yeah, my guess is you know they won't count on him to come in and throw 200 innings. They'll have him on an innings limit. So you know you're probably looking at your pitching staff now. You got a guy that you know what he's awful good. So you have him full bore in 2 years. You would say right, Benji? Is that not how we have to look at this now? When a guy has Tommy John, we're really looking 2 years out.
I think so. In a way, you see what Waino went through, you know, when he went down. The only difference, we won that year. But you saw what he went through. That next year, he came out. It was like a test year, you know. He was testing his arm. He was testing his body. I think he's going to go through that unless he did what Lynn did. You know, like Lynn had a little couple extra months to get ready, and that makes a difference. So if he does it that way, I think he'll be fine. I mean, and I'm not concerned about Alex Reyes, man. He's so young, and he's going to be here at Cardinal for a long time. So I'm not concerned about that. He actually opened up Waka's spot. It opened up Leek and Lynn, you know, spots, and he'll be ready to go either next year or sometime soon.
Yeah, you know, having a strong minor league system, as Carly mentioned earlier about, you know, being excited about it, is now become a lifeblood of most organizations. Some organizations absolutely count on it. Some organizations use it as a way to manage and have higher-priced players along with lower. Some places use it for trade. It doesn't matter what you use it for. It has become the lifeblood of your organization. We know how important that is. We're actually, in an effort to enhance the show, I've been talking with a gentleman that's with the Springfield Cardinal Media, and his name's Derek Shore. We're going to start looking at getting a little report from him. Occasionally, a little five-minute report, just to keep people up to date with what's going on there. I'd like to do the same thing at Memphis, like to do the same thing at Palm Beach. So we're going to be reaching out to guys occasionally in those markets just to give you an idea of who these guys are, what they're doing, how they're doing, things the organization might be doing with them. I mean, you know, Benji, look at you. You're an unbelievable example of, hey, man, I'm not a catcher. You are now. you know, so they take these guys that are athletes sometimes and say, we have a need here. You seem to be able to do this. Let's try this. Well, and like I asked you earlier, if they'd have given you an outfielder's glove, you'd have took it.
I would have tried it, you know. And you know what I like about our organization here in St. Louis is that they're not afraid of making moves. They understand. They know that they got a couple teams out there they need to match up, you know, all year. But they're not afraid to get some moves, you know. And if they got, believe me, if they feel like they need to make a move on an important player, they will do it. They will do it because I know – and I understand that they know that the fans deserve it. You know, as much as the fans go out there and pack up the stadium every day, they know that. So they'll do anything they can to get this thing going.
Jim, I mean, I'm just going to – just popped in my head, you know, when you start talking about the farm system and you want to do your farm report, maybe we call it like the crop report. Go back to our Trading Places movie.
The crop report.
Right?
Randolph and Mortimer Duke. Yeah.
Maybe we'll get that going. I like that episode there.
You think so?
Yeah.
I'm going to pass.
You sure?
We might come up with something, but I don't know that it's going to be the farm report.
No, crop report.
From Randolph and Mortimer Duke.
Yeah.
I don't know. Carly, any thoughts?
Something with a Bull Durham.
Yeah, we may go that route.
We already went Bull Durham. Sometimes it rains, right?
The meat report. No. Hey, guys, this was fun.
You know what I'm most excited about, though? We've got to spend a little bit of time with Benji this week.
In studio
and everything. And every we call him Benji and hey, see you, Benj. I think our relationships, I'm going to start going with BMO.
Well, like that's what buddies. He says. Yeah. Everybody
that's
calls it. Him BMO.
BMO. I think we're close enough now.
BMO is great for me, and only when I go to San Francisco, they call me...
Benji?
No. Big Money.
Big money, okay.
You know, over there. But I have my nicknames everywhere I go, right?
That was funny.
I like that one.
What do you think, Carly? BMO?
BMO sounds good.
Is that what you call him?
No, but I am now.
Yeah, I've heard you. It's usually Mr. Molina. That has to stop now. You're on another level.
Have you ever heard me call you that?
I was gonna say.
I got even players.
But you're the young of stature here. You know, we're all getting old, Carly. You're just getting going here.
Listen, if I know anything about Benji, anytime anybody calls him Mr. Molina, he probably looks over his shoulder for his dad.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what it is.
And I even have players call me Mr. Molina, which is kind of weird. When I played, you know, usually that's your buddy, you know, And he's like, oh, Mr. Molina, come on, let's go. I'm like, what the heck are you talking about, man? You want me to erase you from my text list and stuff? You know? Come on.
All right, I guess we'll have to go with BMO. That sounds pretty good. We'll go with that. Either that money. or we got to come up with a different one. I don't know.
Big money. I like that. He's got a lot of good ones here.
Oh, yep. My gosh.
Emo's may name a pizza after you here before. Oh, that was it. Last thing.
BMO from BMO.
Yeah.
There you go.
Hey, so that was the last. Everybody's been waiting. They want your official review of your first show. So, again, Carly jumps my case because Benji's BMO has never had a toasted ravioli. And then she said, you haven't taken him to Emo's, so that's where we decide to go. We have a Emo's here in Edwardsville right down the street from the studio. So we go to Emo's. So we sent it out. You had your first toasted ravioli. Your thoughts on the ravioli?
I love them. I love it. I really do. If you're around Emo's, man, go try them. I'm sure they have. You know, they're all from here. So
the Provel
but
bites.
I love them.
The Provel bites.
Oh my God, they were so
the cheese
good
bites.
Too.
Good.
I love cheese. So,
well, who doesn't love cheese?
Oh my gosh,
well, that's not even. I don't know if that's is that considered a cheese? It's like scientifically like engineered.
It's like bubblegum.
Yeah,
it's really good. Okay, and then finally the pizza itself.
Hey, let me tell you this. I ate so many pizza, you know, everywhere, and I have never tried a pizza so tasteful like I did today. But it also had to do with the hamburger and
bacon.
The bacon.
Hey, I gave him the hamburger. That's right.
I never had that in a pizza. I never had it, and it was so good. I think I got the most pieces out of him.
I was fighting for it.
Hey, so when I go to a restaurant, I have a couple of different categories. I have hard boycott, never go back, no matter what the case is, for whatever reason. There's the soft boycott, which I won't choose to go back there, but if I'm with somebody that wants to go, I can go. Then I have the I'll go back, but I'll get something different because I wasn't fully on what I got, but it was close enough. And then I have I'm going back. I'm getting the exact same thing because it was on the money. So
that
I got four
me.
Categories.
I
got
to go back and get the same exact thing.
All right. That's
I'm
it.
Ready to go back. And so you're on. You're on board with the Square Beyond Compare Emo's.
Yeah, we've been a couple good places, man.
Yeah,
the
we have.
Best tacos in Tejana.
Oh,
right?
My goodness.
Got to give
gracious.
A shout out to your guy.
Yeah. Let me say La Tejana.
Yeah, La Tejana.
La Tejana. Yep. It's on Lindbergh in Bridgeton, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, my gosh.
The best tacos in town. That's
yeah,
what they were. They were awarded.
I had steak taco. I had one steak. I had one chorizo. And then I had one. What do you call the chorizo on steak? Campechano. Yes. Oh, my gosh. Each one was better than the other. And let me tell you something. I've had chorizo at a lot of places. This was real chorizo. It was unreal. And they have on the little flour tortillas that they fry up, it was unbelievable. I guess they call them street tacos, right? Is that what they're called?
Street tacos. That's what it is, man. It was so good. One of my favorite things, this is funny, and you know, I'll let you I don't know if you guys have seen Friday After Next.
Oh,
movie,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
When they say, make you slap your mama. Emo's so good that it makes you slap your mama.
You better be careful with that one. I've met your mom. It could be trouble.
She'll call you in an hour.
Yes, you're going to get in big trouble here. But
luckily,
hey.
She doesn't understand English. So.
Okay.
She'll translate it somehow.
Okay, so Emo's is a thumbs up. La Tejana is a thumbs up for sure. You're here for a few more days. We're going to have to try a few more. And
I want you guys to go try the Mi Caribe.
Yeah, that's right.
It's Dominican Caribbean food, which is our specialty, you know, the rice and beans and tostones, fried plantains, onion steak and all that. Whatever you guys want to eat, of course, we've got to try that, you know, but I'm getting kind of hungry right now, so we better stop and not mention any more food. Well, I'm good with food, man, until cheesesteaks.
Yeah, cheesesteaks. Yeah, out of bread. How you run out of bread? Come on, Cardinals. You ran out of bread at the Philly cheesesteak stand.
Listen, I can stand in line to get in the stadium. I can hear you be disgruntled all you want to be and yelling at people and, hey, quit telling us what to do and just start checking people in. But when I get to the cheesesteak line – and he said, well, they brought us like 100, you know, loaves of bread or whatever, you know, buns or whatever they put them on. They brought us that. What do you mean there's 150,000 people in the stands and you got 100 cheesesteaks you can sell?
Oh, well, no. Well, that was my thing about opening day, right? They got these two people feverishly running the things through the line with the phones and everything you take out. Then there's a guy watching you walk in, and I guess if you buzz the thing, he wands you. There's those three guys in there. And then there's the lady with the thing buzzing your ticket. So there's four people, right, in this line. Four people working hard. And next to every one of them are two or three guys standing there looking around watching people. And I'm like, you can't have somebody come over here and pat them down and just start running people in? Come on, we got to be smarter than that. All right, again, I said I wasn't going to complain. Okay, it's the beginning of the season.
You are not going to complain.
I'm not complaining.
You complain.
Well, I'm not going to complain. Listen, that was getting in the stadium. That was not what was going on in the field. When it comes to going on in the field, you know, been fortunate enough to know enough guys involved in the game over the years that most guys always say, and Benji, you can confirm or your thoughts on this, they don't even want to talk about any of this until they take their first road trip after opening day. They get away from the hustle and bustle in your hometown, get away from the family. You've been getting them settled, the routine at home, all the requests, everything coming in. That first road trip after opening day is when the players can kind of go and be together, become a family, really, do their thing, settle in. Is that pretty accurate?
It's pretty accurate, but the thing is that how many games are those?
Yeah.
You know, you got to step up right from the get-go, and we've seen it uphand. We've seen it firsthand with the Cubs right away. Three-game series. Here we go. Let's go at it, you know? So I know I understand, you know, for numbers-wise and stuff like that, yeah, it's all right to give it up for 2 weeks and stuff, but I'm not – I don't know. I don't buy that so much, you know. I think you have to come out swinging right away. And – and the way I saw the Cubs swinging and coming at it, they look with attitude, man. And our Cardinals match it up, and we did very good. So I'm very excited to see what they can do when the Reds come in town or whoever else it is. Now they got to go to Washington, and they got to play the Yankees.
Yeah.
So
that'll be a great
It doesn't
trip.
Get easy.
No.
That's what I'm saying. So we don't have time to waste on any game. We got to win every game we can. And if we can finish only one loss all year, I'll take it.
Yeah, that'll be good. Well, hey, this was fun. Again, Benji, you know, when you come in town and you're working for the Cardinals, doing the Spanish broadcast, spending time with your brother, you know, I know you're committed to the show, taking the time to spend, you know, lunch and visiting places and doing the thing in studio. We love having you, and the fans love it. When you're here, the exchanges are a little easier. You know, it's hard when somebody's over the phone. You don't know if they're talking to you or somebody else. So thank you for the time that you spend when you're here. Carly, thank you. We hope you enjoy coming in and doing this. And whenever
you
get the opportunity,
anytime
you know,
you need me.
As your career continues, you know, it won't be long. You'll be too big for us. We know how this goes.
But, I don't know about that.
But while you're growing, we'll take you anytime you want to come in. So thanks for doing that.
Yeah, thank you.
And, you know, for my partner, Steve-O here.
Shout out to Studio B, man. Nice, intimate, relaxing.
I like it.
It's a little closer.
Mood lighting, it's unbelievable. I'm digging it.
It's a little fan if you get a little hot. You know.
Hey, give us a follow, man.
Yeah, give us a follow. Don't forget, twobirdsonabat.com is our website. You know, love to have you guys check it out. It's also the easiest way to subscribe to the podcast. But as Benji said, this show is built on the fans. Our show has grown, you know, just tremendously, especially over the last couple months as we've gotten closer and closer to what has now happened, and that's the season. It's all due to the great fans out there that are involved in the Facebook pages and Twitter. Follow us on Twitter, at Birds on a Bat Show. Again, if you're a Cardinal fan, we're going to follow you back. You know, we're going to jump in some of the conversations out there. Sometimes we agree with you, sometimes we don't. What do we always say? Everybody's entitled to their opinion, and it's all in good fun. Make sure you follow us at Birds on a Bat Show. Then go hop on over to Facebook. We love Facebook because you're not limited to 140 characters. You can share great videos, interviews. Two Birds on a Bat, just type it in, you'll find us. Our great new group of our own, Birds on a Bat. It's going to be a public group. It's going to give everybody the opportunity to be a part of Cardinal discussion, share great stories, be a part of what's going on. We're going to run some great contests through there. You saw BMO signing his book. We're going to have some signed books to give away. We got the jersey from Yachty, the autographed jersey that we're going to use as a promotional tool to really get people blowing up on the page. We're going to announce all that here coming real soon. We want you guys to be a part of this show. We promised you when we started it was going to be a Cardinals fan podcast. We want you to be involved. Season's rolling. We're going to start having the fan of the week. We're going to have you guys in, start talking about some of the great Cardinal history. You guys heard the show yesterday with the great Jason Isringhausen, the local product that was able to live out a lifelong dream and pitch for his hometown club. A couple of great stories from him yesterday, Steve-O. I know that you've known him. I've known him. He's a part of our community. But he's about as humble a guy as you'll ever meet. And most people, if they didn't know who he was, they never knew he pitched in the major leagues. They'd never know he has 300 saves. just an honest, good dude with some great stories. I mean, the show just went out, and there's all kinds of people that are like, what a great – this guy just tweeted at us, and I felt this really says it all when it came to that interview, and I appreciate it. Listener Zach Smith, and his Twitter is at Z Smith. It looks like Z Smith, INLR. Great interview. Learned a lot about a player I don't think ever got quite the credit he deserved. That's a great statement from a fan who listened to Jason really kind of not bare his soul, but really share some private things about his decisions that he made to both personal on the field and off and where he was coming from and what was going on. Sometimes you get that from these guys, and it means a lot to the listener.
Absolutely, and we'll get more in as the year goes on. And, I mean, I would imagine they're probably lining up trying to call us and get on the show. I mean, we're like big time now, right?
Well, now that we have BMO, for sure, right? And BMO is the man. So, and, you never know. Maybe Emos will jump on board, and next thing you know, then we become a St. Louis icon like Emos.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to it, Jim.
Well, I tell you what, I enjoyed this. Like I said, Carly, you're welcome anytime. I know, you know, with you being right across the river, anytime you feel like making the trek, you're always welcome to jump in. Benji, my man, love having you in the studio. But, of course, we'll take you any way we can get you. But you will be back. Okay, you're here to do the game on Sunday. Then you leave and go home, and then I think you come back in about a month. Is that right?
Yes. It will be the 2nd and the 3rd of May.
Right.
And the 29th, 30th, and 31st of May, too.
Right. We're talking about maybe doing a little something when you come back with maybe some fans. So pay attention and look for that. We're going to give some fans an opportunity maybe to hang out with us at a Cardinal game or do something. We're going to come up with something really fun. But things that we want to do, because like I said, myself, Steve-O, BMO, everybody here at Line, I mean, we are 100% committed to this being a fans podcast. We want you to feel like you're part of it. So for Jimbo, Steve, BMO, and our good friend Carly, and all the gang here at lineupmedia.fm, we appreciate you. We thank you for your support, and let's go Cards.
Go Birds.
Go Birds.
Today's show is presented by DaVinci Smart Drink. Order yours now at lineupmedia.fm/DaVinci. DaVinci, excite better thinking.
Need a mental boost? DaVinci Smart Drinks were designed with professional thinkers in mind. With key ingredients shown to improve cognitive function and increase mental energy, DaVinci Smart Drinks excite better thinking. Drink a DaVinci. Let it go to your head.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.